Well, what a reminder tonight. Without the Lord Jesus, we would be lost, of course, literally headed for eternity without Christ in a devil's hell, and then lost in this life as well. But, oh, what a wonderful treasure it is to be saved. Thank you for joining us tonight, and we're so thankful that you've gathered together with us, and had to see some folks out here and the rest joining online. Thank you so much for being with us, however you are. And I want to teach tonight just a little while about our enemies. You say, Brother John, what enemies you're talking about? And now before you start naming them, that's Joe and Chet and Terry and this person, before you start thinking about that enemy, I want you to think a little broader than that. Now, the Bible does talk about loving our enemies, but we want to speak more broadly than just individuals. And they say, oh, I know what you're talking about, COVID. We got a bad enemy coming around here. We were having troubles long before COVID reared its head. That's not our problem necessarily that we're facing. We were facing it way before then. Our problems found in our text are our big problems that we want to look at tonight. And I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 2. God would help me over the next 15 minutes or so. I'd like for you to look at the three enemies that we have, Ephesians chapter 2, and look in the first three verses or so. And it's going to say who we're talking to, those that are quickened, those that are alive, and we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Brother Dan sang about Jesus, oh Jesus, where would we be? And we would be dead, as verse number 1 says, in our trespasses and our sins. So if you found your place in Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means made alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we were quickened, made alive, and we became a saved individual. Verse number 2, wherein, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world. Enemy number 1. According to the prince and the power of the air. Enemy number 2. And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also, verse 3, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Enemy number 3. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so I see in this first three verses here, this old condition when we were dead to God. Now, if we'd had time, we would look at verses 4 down to verse number 10. You'd see our new condition. We're alive to God. We were dead in our trespass of sin, but now we're alive. We are, if you look in verse number 5, just as reference, even when we were dead in the sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And that's that person like you and I, if you're saved tonight, that we are quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God. But I want to teach tonight just for a little while about those first three verses, and those three verses outlining our three enemies. You've got an enemy, and it's not that person you think about. You've got an enemy, it's not that person necessarily. Again, the Bible talks about our enemies individual, and it tells us how to behave toward them. Love your enemies. Be good to them that despitefully use you and make evil against you. The Bible talks about how to deal specifically with an enemy. But broader than that, you and I have enemies tonight, and they are listed here: the world, the flesh, and the devil. That great trio of enemies that you've got. I don't care if you're a young teenager trying to keep your life pure and trying to keep your mind right, or whether you're a senior citizen that's got great-grandchildren that's fighting other issues. You're fighting against the world, fighting against the flesh, and fighting against the devil. So let's pray and get right into our Bible study tonight. Father, be with us now as our prayer. I ask you to give us great clarity as we look into your word. And I pray that tonight we could identify, we could call them out, and then, dear Lord, we'd be equipped to fight against the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, there's many people that say, I'm just going to take on the devil. You're outmatched. Unless we're submitting ourselves to God and letting God fight in us, through us, to the wicked one. Because the devil is a very worthy adversary. So, it's a wonderful thing to have friends. But just as sure as you have friends, you also have enemies. And so we look at them tonight and we see here that listed In verse number 2, we see our listed, the devil, or the world rather, as our first enemy here that we've got labeled. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. There was nothing in you. Maybe you had some religion. Maybe your parents tried to walk you down a certain path. But you and I, as we were walking without the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the world had out there to offer, that's what we engaged ourselves in. And don't think it's strange. You think, well, look at those unsaved people, how they're living. Listen, my friend, the unsaved person, just like you were before you came to Christ, was living in the world. Why would you live any different? Because we live in America, because maybe you had a Christianized home, or maybe an area that was more moral than another, the unsaved world is going to live like the world. The surprise is not that the world lives like the world. The surprise is why us Christians, why we choose oftentimes to live like the world. But we see here that we lived according to the course of this world. And so in case you're wondering, who energizes that world that we walk according to, look on in the verse. According to the prince of the power of the air, and we know from other references that's referencing Satan, and it says the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We've got a wrong philosophy oftentimes in the world today, and that is that all of the folks of the world are God's children. Now, everybody's God's creation, but we understand strictly from Scripture that until we're saved, we're not the children of God. Jesus referenced that when he said, you're of their father, the devil. We understand that we're in the wrong family until we get saved. And so when we're unsaved, we are walking according to the world, the worldly course. And not only were we walking according to that, but I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll work our way through some scripture passages tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We'll see, not only did we walk according to this world, but as we walked according to it, we were also, if you're taking notes, we were blinded by this world. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. In whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest, why does Satan want to blind our minds? Why does he want to get us so that we don't see the truth? Look on in the verse. It's the best answers you're going to get to your questions are found in Scripture. Why? It says there, the God of this world blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest, or unless, or because if he does it, this is what's going to happen, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you not only walked according to the world, I not only walked according to the world, I was blinded by what the world had to offer. I asked my dad, when I was just a little kid, I said, Dad, he would preach and tell about the gospel and tell folks about being saved. And I would hear great preachers, sometimes he would have old cassette tapes and you listen to some of those preachers and you heard the gospel from this person, that person. I say, Dad, it looks like nobody in their right mind would not ask Jesus to be their Savior. I said, Dad, how could somebody know that they're going to hell? And how could somebody know that Jesus died on the cross? And how could they not bow their head and ask Jesus to be their Savior? I didn't understand what was in this verse. But my dad told me at that time, he said, well, son, sometimes they're they're just blinded. And what he was meaning was right there. Blinded by the world. Blinded to think that the attractions that they're involved in, blinded to think that the lifestyle they're enjoying, blinded to think that the things that they're going after are more important than their eternal soul, and thinking that that's where true happiness is, they are blinded by the things of this world. And Satan will keep them that way, because if the world can blind you, all of us have turned the light on when you're getting up and you turn the light on as you're walking down the hall and it blinds you, and we see that the people have unsaved, have been blinded by the world, and because of that, they can't see the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that we're not only walked in the world, but we were blinded by this world. But it tells us that since we're Christians now, if you'll turn over into 1 John chapter 2, not the gospel, but the 1 John, the few books before the Revelation, we see that we walked according to a worldly course. We stayed in that worldly course because we were blinded by this world. But then after you came to Christ, what does the Bible say about this world? Well, it gives us in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, what you and I are, as individuals that are saved, are supposed to do with the world. The Bible says in verse number 15, 1 John 2, love not the world. You say, that's a contradiction. What doesn't the Bible say? For God so loved the world, and most all of us would know that the world has several different meanings. In Scripture, it has this big globe that we all live on, has the world as far as all the people on there, but then it also has the worldly philosophy that's anti-God and against the things of the Scripture. And so when the Bible says, love not the world, we are supposed to love the people of the world, but not love its philosophies that are empowered and energized by the prince and power of the air. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so we see here that as Christians, we're not to be in love with this world. Why do you think that preachers get up over and over again and thunder out about worldly attractions or worldly philosophies or worldly endeavors or worldliness? Well, you say, well, isn't that up to interpretation? What's worldly and what isn't? That may be true, but the premise is very clear, the principle rather, is very clear in Scripture that you and I are supposed to stay away from worldliness. Now, we may disagree a little bit on, well, is this one particular event worldly or that worldly or this worldly? We may haggle a little bit on that, but all of us have to see as we look in Scripture that we as believers are supposed to be different from the world. If you work at a company and your unsaved neighbor works at a company, then it ought to be that you as a believer stay away from unethical behavior and cheating and stealing and taking from the company and all these things, because you're not supposed to be of that worldly philosophy, love not the world. The Bible says that over this battle of the world, faith gives us the victory. In 1 John chapter 5, whatsoever is born of God, 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If this is such a worthy adversary, the world, what are we supposed to do about it as Christians? Well, the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we've got an adversary. The world. It's one that we walked in before we were saved. It's one now that we battle after we're saved. And the only way to have victory is to have faith and walk in faith. So we see one enemy, the world. Let's look back in our text, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says that we also see the flesh as an enemy, whom also we had our conversation times past in the lust of our flesh. Unsaved folks, they live to fulfill the lust of their flesh. Why wouldn't they? Whatever seems to be, whatever comes up that you want to do, why wouldn't you do that? That's just what we should do. And we're seeing a nation that just gives its way to any whim or wish that comes in. If it comes into our mind, let's fulfill it. And I'm not saying it's the people watching or listening tonight necessarily, although we all battle with the flesh as well. But our nation as a whole, if it can be imagined, somebody's doing it. Because we're living as giving in to anything that our flesh can come up with. There's wickedness going on in our nation, in our world, that most common people would have never dreamed of. But they have given into the desires of the flesh. They live to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what the Scripture says here. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh, at the end of the verse, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. And that's who we battled. That's what we battled, our flesh. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 7. You're in Ephesians, turn left a little bit to Romans. And we see that just like the world did not cease to be our enemy just because we got saved, God doesn't take us out of the world. He left us in the world to live for Him in this present world. And so just like He didn't take us out of the world, He doesn't take the flesh out of us. We see that we still battle that. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse number 23, I believe it is. God using the Apostle Paul to write here. He says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh?" That's Romans chapter 7, verse 24. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." You say, how long does it take somebody to quit battling the flesh? I don't know. I've only talked to people up into their 80s and 90s, and they said they were still battling with it. And you say, well, I know what you're thinking about your flesh. Well, you're talking about a young person's game, then, and sometimes we think about the physical, the immoral that way. But I'm not talking specifically about that, although that falls in this category. But the flesh is a lot more than just that. The lust of the flesh is a lot more than just those things that we immediately think of. My friend, I'm just saying that we've got an ongoing battle. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how good a scenario you're in. You've got that flesh. I have a sneaking suspicion that some people, always have an issue with getting up in the mornings. Other people always have an issue with making themselves do what's right, turning aside the no more banana splits, no more this, no more that. The flesh gets all of us. That's not preaching there. I'm just using that as illustration. Don't get mad at me. I'm not banning all those things. I'm just saying that our flesh is always going to give us a problem. Not just in those things about eating or just in those things of exercise or of the rest. I'm saying that as the Apostle Paul puts it here, I see another law in my members. It's warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity the law of sin which is in my members. And he says this, I serve the law of God, that's what I want to do, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, my friend, we've got to realize that not only do we have the world as our enemy, but we've got the flesh as our enemy. I already told you that we have this ongoing war, but we also have the victory, as it says, stated in verse number 25 of Romans 7. We also have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can't see anyways, but you could raise your hand if you were here. How many of us have made decisions and we didn't think, pray, ponder on it, but we just did what we thought was a good idea. And later we realized that I should have given more thought to that, more prayer to that, more dedication to what was right. Can you imagine making big decisions without the Spirit of God to guide you? I'm talking about some of you stumbled your way through and found a good mate, even though you weren't saved or you weren't walking with the Lord and God was just extra gracious to you. Can you imagine if we had to rely on our flesh to try to guide us through this world? My friend, we ought to live and walk in the Spirit. And so that way we could have victory over the flesh. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I serve the law of God. So I've told you enemy number one, the world. It's not going anywhere. It's out there. It's on when you click on the television. It's on when you look on the internet. It's on. And does that mean everything on the television or internet's bad? No, there's plenty good and plenty bad everywhere. I'm talking when you go to the gas station, the shopping mall, all the restaurants everywhere. The world is out there. And we live in it. We can't go back and live in some kind of a commune somewhere and just say, well, we're going to shut all that out. If we did, we'd get worldly in there. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we ought to watch and see the world that lives or goes against the Scriptures. We ought to battle it and have faith to overcome it. That's our enemy. Our enemy number two is the flesh. And then number three is the devil. The Bible says, if we're back in our text, we see that the prince and the power of the air, in verse number 2, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we had our conversation in times past. That's how we lived before we were walking with Christ. We see that the devil is our third and final enemy tonight. The devil, our enemy that will always be there. When I was about in third grade, somebody had wore a little button, and I think the button was a transplant from years before, maybe her parents, but it said, "The devil made me do it." That was a very popular button back in some time ago. Well, sometimes we give him too much credit. A lot of times when we have trouble, it's just our flesh. It's not even the devil battling us, but beside the point, he's always against us. And he's a very worthy adversary. Let me show you in Ephesians chapter 6. You're in Ephesians 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, where we're going to look in just a little while, the armor there that God tells us to put on. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11, as he tells us to put on the armor of God. And you all know the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. But we're going to look and see why we even are supposed to suit up to begin with, and then we'll look at some of them. But why are you supposed to suit up? In verse number 11, it tells us, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Just so we'll be dressed right? Just so we can look like, wow, he's a Christian. He's got on that breastplate. He's got on that. He's got on that. No, there's a reason why God wants us to suit up. So we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, God does very little things for no reason. God doesn't just say, oh, we'll do that. There's reason. He's a very, and more than our minds will ever comprehend, very intricate God that's got reasons beyond reasons, and many of them which we'll never even figure out. But he tells us to put on the whole armor of God so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I told you, as the scripture says, that we are supposed to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. But that's got to be in that order. Submit yourself to him. Put ourselves in the power of God. Put ourselves in the armor that God gives. Look at verse number 12 as you make your way down through there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it's not in there, but it could say, but instead we wrestle against, so it's just but against principalities, meaning that's what we wrestle against. Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we see that the devil, we're supposed to stand against his wiles or his ways or his the things that he does. We wrestle with evil that's there. And can I just tell you, this passage, it talks about a fight. So if you and I want to be a Bible Christian, we're going to have to get ready for a fight. You'll just nonchalantly say, well, I guess I'm going to go out and fight the devil today. I guess I'll leave him alone, he'll leave me alone. I think some of us, as Christians, we operate on that philosophy. I won't bother him, he won't bother me. But the Bible says that there's a fight that needs to be engaged in. That means that we need to suit up in the morning. You know the parts of it there as well as I do. The Bible talks about your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to suit up. Why? Because we got an enemy. If we were truly, they were using the imagery of somebody going into battle, true battle, where they take a sword and a shield and go in against the enemy. Now, thank God we're not in a physical fight necessarily right now with people shooting at us, but it uses that picture so that we'll know that there's a battle that we truly need to engage in. And as we engage in that battle, we don't go without all of the paraphernalia. We don't go without all the protection. We don't go without all the offensive weapon, the sword either. We go into that battle ready because we've got an adversary. If you were going into battle and you didn't think there were an enemy, would you suit up? No, you'd just be taking a walk in a field somewhere. But since there is an enemy, and since there is the need to protect ourselves, then we suit up. And so this evening, the third enemy that we're looking at is the devil. You want to know why there's so much wickedness on television and the internet? As I said, I'm not preaching against those things because there's plenty of good and plenty of bad on all of them. But you want to know why there's so much ill on there? The devil. You want to know why there's so many wicked places around right here in Johnson City where homes are broken up and where drunkenness is rampant and where immorality is encouraged and pushed forth. You want to know why all those are out there? The devil. Our three enemies. You may be thinking, alcohol ruined my home. You may be thinking another person ruined my home. You may be thinking that some other rebellion ruined my home. And yes, specifically, maybe that happened in all them. But you'll see that what ruins our home, what ruins our lives, and what makes us ill-effective as Christians is the world, the flesh, and the devil. We've got real enemies, not figments of our imagination. Somebody said it like this: the devil is never more effective than when he convinces us he doesn't exist. Because you know what the world would have us believe? That the devil is just the boogeyman that somebody made up, and it's just like somebody scaring a kid, don't go over there in the dark. He's just a figment of your imagination, folklore, fairy tale. And can I tell you this? I don't have a scripture to back this up, but can I tell you that the devil would love for you to think that about him? Because if you think that about him, then you don't count him as a worthy adversary. You don't count him as legitimate. Then you dismiss him. And you're not prepared against him. So this evening, are you battling the flesh? I hope we're battling the flesh, because that doesn't, if we're not, we're just letting it win. Are we standing against the world as it's trying to tear down our marriage? Are we acknowledging that the devil's trying to work in our life? And are we standing against him? So our three enemies tonight, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2:1, 2, and 3. I challenge you to make some mental notes or physical notes there and come back there from time to time, and you see if the things that you notice on television and on the news and different things, if they don't fall into some of these categories, that's the world. That's the world for you. That's the devil for you. And then see if when you're not motivated, jump right up and go do what's right. If you're not truthful when you say, boy, this old flesh of mine's getting me again. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for these moments that we've had together. And Lord, I pray that we would be ready. Lord, we're no match for the devil. Powerful being. But you said if we'd submit ourselves to you, and then in your power, suited up with your righteousness, then we could resist him and you'd make him flee. Lord, I pray that we choose to engage in the fight. I pray that we choose to acknowledge the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Lord, I pray that we would take it serious. As they begin to play something on the piano, maybe just in a quiet moment there, God would have you just make some holy resolutions. Make you have some time where you tell the Lord, Lord, I've been too nonchalant. I've been fighting with my kids, not realizing that there was some evil forces at work. Well, I've been just thinking that I've been having a bad day because bad days are coming my way. I didn't realize it was the flesh. Of course, it's the flesh. It's your enemy. Yield to the Spirit. Let God fight your battles for you. Am I promising you that after you do that one day, the next day it'll all be roses, you won't have to fight? No, as a matter of fact, I'm telling you, you're going to have to do it the next day as well, and the next, and the next, and the next. But the only other option is just not to fight. Give in. Is let her go. Let's be aware of our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Father, thank you for this time to be gathered around your word. Lord, if there's one person or several that tonight as a Christian have decided to fight in your power against their enemies, the Lord will be grateful. If there's one listening tonight that's not sure they're saved, Lord, impress upon them the need to call upon Jesus Christ alone for their Savior. Lord, they don't have to worry about all the fighting they're going to be involved in. The world, the flesh, and the devil, Lord, they're not saved. I pray they'd get saved tonight, before it's eternally too late. Bless us, dear Lord, as we try to seek you and search for you and be led of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a blessing to have you with us, and thank you for being here as well. We'll be praying for you for the rest of the week. We'll look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Whose broad stripes and bright